Go ahead and open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, and we'll be looking at this for the first part of our sermon this morning. I guess one of the big responsibilities that parents have with their children is in seeking to train them to make good choices. And so throughout life, children, in their first part of their lives anyway, are presented with these choices that parents give them. You need to do this. You need to choose this way. Because parents understand that those choices of friends and school and staying away from inappropriate things, such as drugs and alcohol, choosing who you're going to marry, choosing the career that you go into, are all very monumental decisions. And in fact, someone once summed it up by saying that all of those decisions that I make really means that I am the product of the choices that I've made thus far in my life. And so a very major part of being a faithful child of God is in learning how to make good choices, learning how to choose wisely. And I guess as we think about the Bible, we think about how many times within the sacred word God talks about the idea of making those good choices. But of course, perhaps the most famous of these comes from the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, in which Joshua says in verse 15, "If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so as we look at this idea, Joshua is saying to the people of Israel, the decision that you make, the choice that you make, is going to determine to whom you give your allegiance. And as we'll see this morning, the choice of whom you're going to give your allegiance is going to say much about the kind of life that you live. The elders have chosen this year as a theme the idea of God give us Christian homes. But a part of that theme comes from the passage that we're talking about this morning. The idea of choosing to in your house honor the Lord. Well, as we approach this topic this morning in an introductory kind of way, we need to understand what Joshua was saying in making that choice. And so as Israel is put in this position of making the decision, the first thing Joshua does is he says, you must weigh your options. You must understand what God has given you to do, given you to choose from. And he says the options that you have are these. You either serve Yahweh, Jehovah God, or you serve the gods that these pagans serve. That's your choice. Now, what does a parent do when he's seeking to help a child to make the appropriate choice? It's to look at the proven record of the choices. Maybe you've got a child who's about to go to college and the child is trying to choose between two universities. And so a parent says, well, look at what all of this university has to offer and look at what this university has to offer and choose based on the track record of those universities. Well, in a sense, that's what Joshua is doing. He's saying, look at God, Jehovah, and look at the gods and make your choice based on what they've done. In fact, in the previous verses, look at how many things Joshua says to think about in the God that he's calling on the people to serve. He says, when you think about Jehovah, just consider all of the things that Jehovah has told you and shown you in your lives and in your heritage also. He says he brought your fathers out of Egypt. He put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come up and cover them. He did this in Egypt. He brought you to the land that you're in. And then in first person, God says, I gave them into your hand. You took possession of their land. I destroyed them. But I would not listen to Balaam when he tried to bring that curse. Indeed, he blessed you. I delivered you out of his hands. I gave them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. I gave you a land. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Why does Joshua choose to preface these remarks on making the decision about God or gods with this? It's because this is proof. If you want to make a wise choice, he tells the people, look at what God has done for you. Look at what he's provided. He's got a proven track record for you here. God is the provider of your blessings. But what about on the other side? When you look at the gods of the Amorites, the gods that your father served on the other side of the river, what have they given you? And of course, the answer to that is nothing. But Joshua continues, and he says, if you choose to dedicate yourself to serve the living God, Jehovah God, then the choice really is not a choice at all. Because you look at what he's done with all of the proof, with all of the things he's given, and you compare that to these gods, and the choice is so simple. But yet he says, if you make this choice to serve God, there's got to be dedication. This is not something you make lightly. This is not something you make in the heat of the moment and then vainly seek to pursue it. No, instead Joshua says, this is something that's going to take a good deal of thought. And it's so interesting to me in verse 14 as he begins this discussion. He says, now therefore fear the Lord. It is very important for us to understand that as Joshua lays the groundwork for making the right decision, he says the first thing is you've got to make sure that you fear the Lord because this was the basis of their covenant. You ever notice how often that word shows up? We think back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 10. He says, Moses says, how on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth. He says just a little further down in chapter 6, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son by keeping all his statutes and commandments which I've commanded you. We go a little further. Chapter 6, verse 13. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive. When you and I look at the law of Moses, many times that's difficult for us because we are Gentiles in the era of Christianity, looking at a law given to the Jews in a very ancient time. But nonetheless, there are overarching principles that we find within that law that are easy to spot, and this is one of them. God says, if you are going to choose me, then you must choose the awe and the respect that always comes to my name. But he says it's not that alone. Because when you choose to fear me, it's then you choose to serve me. You see, the relationship they were to have with God was not one-sided. It was not God providing all of their blessings and they had nothing in return to give. God says, if you choose to follow me, then that's a choice of service. And I tell you, in this section, look at how many times in verses 14 and 15 we have that idea coming up. Now therefore fear the Lord God and serve Him in sincerity and faithfulness. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua had this in his mind. He understood this. He says when you choose to fear God, the next step is you are making the decision that you are going to fear Him in service to Him. And thus Joshua wanted the people to understand that. But what was involved in that service? What was involved in how they approached Him? He says that service has got to be based on sincerity. In fact, right in verse 14, as he's talking about this, fearing the Lord, he says, serve Him in sincerity, the idea there being in a complete and an unblemished way. Now, what's intriguing about this is when we find that service showing up in the law of Moses over and over and over again. Let me give you just one example. He says, your lamb shall be without blemish. Now, obviously, we know what's going on here. This is the sacrificial lamb. And so, I don't know, I didn't count how many times in the law of Moses God says, when you offer your sacrifice, it's to be unblemished. It's to be sincere. It's to be complete. Well, what that meant for the Israelite who was thinking in a godly frame of mind, that every time he offered that sacrifice, it was a reminder to him of his own service, that he was to present himself to the Lord in an unblemished way, in a complete way. And thus the explanation of chapter 18, verse 13 in Deuteronomy, you shall be blameless before the Lord your God. Just as that sacrifice was to be blameless, so their lives were to be blameless, so their service was to be blameless, pure and complete. But Joshua doesn't stop there. He says, in this unblemished way, you've got to get yourself removed from your ancestry. One of the points that's made throughout this section, somewhat as an undertone, not always put in overt language, is that you've got to be different from your fathers. When we look at the history of Israel, how many times do we see them presenting blemished service to God? They come out of Egypt, they build a calf. They go into the land of Canaan, they offer to Baal, they offer to the Ashtaroth, they offer to the god of the Sidonians, all these different gods. Joshua says you must be different. And the admonition is that you truly believe the very first command that you've been given, that there shall be no other God but before Jehovah God. And in doing so, in choosing to serve Him in that way, it will be pure. And it will not be the hypocritical service of those of years past. When we come to the New Testament, we've talked about this in sermons before. That idea of sincere is without wax. The idea that you're not trying to sell a vessel here that has a crack in it, and you filled it in with wax to make it look good on the surface, but it's still got a flaw. He's saying it's perfect, it's right, it's intact. And thus Joshua says, when you come before God, don't put the wax on. Don't put the false face on. Don't try to pretend you're all holy while in the same breath you're praising a false god. He's saying if you choose to serve Jehovah God, it is sincerity that will typify your service. But he adds a second thing there in verse 14. He also says you're going to serve Him in sincerity and also in faithfulness, or truth is how that's sometimes translated. And the idea that he's talking about here is that they're to be reliable in the service of God. You know, this is a morning a lot of people figure out that their car is not very reliable. You go out and it's 11 degrees and you turn it over and nothing happens. Why? It's kind of conked out. It's not going. It may have gone yesterday, but not this morning. Joshua says your faith can't be like that. You can't get up one morning and say, I just don't think I'm feeling like serving the Lord today. I don't think I'm going to try to be what I need to be. No, he says when you serve Him, it's a service that is always present and ready. Two interesting examples from the Old Testament, not really related to this account at all, but using our word here. One was used when Abraham sent a servant to find a wife for Isaac. He says, now then, if you are going to show me steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me. Here's the servant making the plea for the wife. Tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. He says, you got to deal with me with reliability. Don't give me a sale of goods and then change the deal a little bit later on. You got to be truthful. As Jethro is giving advice to Moses, he says, look for able men who are from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe. Make these men judges. Here are people who you can rely on, who you know are going to be honest, who are not going to quit on you. And those examples show us the kind of people that Joshua said they had to be. So fearing God in their service, they were sincere, they were faithful. But then Joshua says, you must also show a great deal of resolve. That when you make the decision for fidelity, that means that you are going to do it. And so the emphatic statement he makes, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not might, not hope to, not if it's possible. He says this is what we are going to do. And that is a determination that is demonstrating what he's decided in his mind. Here's how Israel was to make their decision. Now, that was a long time ago. And sometimes we read these accounts and they're very interesting to talk about and maybe somewhat helpful. But if we're not careful, we kind of view them as a generational thing, that this happened so long ago. That here was a people who were making decisions in a very different time and different place and different circumstance. Well, I want us to understand this morning that the choice they were called on to make is exactly the same choice we are. Though the circumstances may be different, we may be living in a very different culture, very different place and time in the world. The decision is the same. The choice is the same. And thus, we come to the New Testament and we find those same principles taught over and over again. But I want to focus on just one of those places this morning. And that's learning from what the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians. It is amazing to me how that a passage that he wrote to these Corinthian Christians, who would be much more in kind of our way of thinking than perhaps the Israelites were told the exact same things that Joshua told the Israelites in making the right choice to serve God. In fact, the Apostle Paul frames it very much just as Joshua did. The passage is found in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, and we'll back up to verse 14. He says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols?" Now, as he's bringing it to his crescendo, here is the same choice that Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. The gods that your fathers served or the living God." Think about those Corinthians, many of them Gentiles. Many of them had come out of pagan backgrounds. And so the apostle is saying, choose who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve Jehovah God or are you going to serve those idols of your past? And from this point, the apostle will frame the decision in a very similar way. As Joshua, Paul provides the reasons for their choice. Remember what we saw with Joshua? He brought you out of Egypt. He gave you this land. He drove out the enemy. You're eating from the vineyards that you didn't plant. Look at what precedes the apostle's message here in chapter 5. He says, first of all, knowing the fear of the Lord begins just as Joshua did. And then look at the things that are highlighted. This is one who has died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves. We are a new creation. Christ reconciled us. For our sake, He made Him to be sin. The apostle says, you want to talk about the choice that you're given, God or idols? Look at what God's done for you. He gave His Son. He provided a way of escape from sins. He allowed you to be a new creation. He has given you a new life, just as Joshua told Israel, God has given you a new life in this land. And thus that choice, just as in the case with Israel, is not really a choice at all. The idols provide nothing. It is Jehovah who provides all. As well, as Joshua did, Paul is going to frame their choice by way of covenant. Look at this as we continue on down. In verse 6 of 2 Corinthians, it says, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people." That was written to New Testament Christians. Look, though, at what we find written to Israel in Exodus chapter 29. "I will dwell among the people of Israel, I will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." The choice is there. You are in a covenant. If you choose to follow God, you are making an agreement with Him that while He will be your God, you are going to be His people. As Israel, they were told to avoid uncleanness. The apostle tells the people of Corinth, so are you. Look at verse 7. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you. Don't be polluted with the filth of idols. And he uses that language of uncleanness there. Well, look at Leviticus 7, what was spoken to Israel. And if anyone touches an unclean thing, whether human uncleanness or an unclean beast or any unclean detestable creature, and then eats some flesh from the sacrifice of the Lord's peace offering, that person shall be cut off from my people. That's one of many passages that brings out the point that you must separate from things that the Lord considers unclean, that's going to pollute you. The Corinthians were told the same thing. As Joshua did, the Apostle Paul said, you've got to make a choice. You can't just kind of flip back and forth. Remember that passage we started off with? Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What? You've got to choose between righteousness and lawlessness. Light and darkness, Christ or Belial, believer or unbeliever. It's sad, so many times people are trying to walk that middle road. To say, well, I'm going to be faithful some of the time, but I'm not going to leave the ways of the world either. The apostle says, you can forget that. It's one way or the other. You are on the side of Christ or you are on the side of the devil. It's your choice. And that's what must be made. Therefore, what do we find here? We find the Apostle Paul is making his point just as Joshua did. The point is there, and what we find offered to the Corinthians is what we find offered for us. We choose between God and idols. We choose whether we're going to be a part of that covenant. We choose cleanness or uncleanness. We choose which side that we're on. And when we make that choice, it's going to be shown in the way we behave ourselves. My decision, just as the decision of Israel, is going to be evident by my service. And just as Joshua told Israel, so Paul tells us, you must first of all come to God in fear. What follows the passage that we just read in 2 Corinthians 6, we find in the first verse, of chapter 7. The thought hasn't changed though. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. How is Israel going to make the right choice? Fear God. How do you and I make the right choice? We fear God. And when we choose to fear Him, we're going to bring that holiness to completion. Our actions are going to demonstrate that belief and that service to God in the fact that we are going to be sincere people before Him. Remember what Paul wrote to Timothy when he said, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. A faith without wax. A faith that is not hypocritical, that on Sunday morning says one thing, but Sunday afternoon says something completely different. We are genuine, we are complete, we are unblemished. Now, take that and contrast it. Because the Apostle Paul, in a different occasion, was talking about people who were with wax, who were deceitful. And he said about those who were trying to do him harm, he says, the former proclaimed Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. Now look at the contrast there. He says, Timothy, our purpose is to have a sincere faith. But he says about those who are preaching Christ out of some reason to try to hurt him, he says they are not sincere. They're fake. They're hypocritical. Now, the question for us is, which side do we fit on? As you and I look at the faith, the choice that we're making to serve God, the service we're providing, do we fear Him? Is the awe and the respect there? And in that service, do we find ourselves saying, I am going to present myself to the Lord unblemished and complete. I am going to be the kind of sacrifice that was pictured in the Old Testament of being brought to the Lord in perfection. You and I know that it's only by the blood of Christ that we can ever attain that. But nonetheless, you and I also know that one of the things God says is, I want you seeking to attain that perfection. That as you live your life, you are considering your choices and how they reflect on me and how they reflect on that decision that you've made to be a child of mine. And that holiness will not only be brought to completion in sincerity, but also in faithfulness. It is not sporadic. It is not hot or cold. It's not one way, one day this way, one day the next way. It is a consistent, reliable faith. Whereas God looks upon us, He can say, that is a trusted servant. That is someone who I know I can depend on, who will not stop when the going gets tough. And when you and I can resolve ourselves to having that kind of service to God, we can have the same resolve that Joshua called on the people of Israel to have. And that's reflected in our text in 2 Corinthians also. In verse 18, the Lord says to us as a part of this covenant, I will be a father to you. Emphatic. But then look what He says, and you shall be sons and daughters to me. The one who chooses the covenant, the one who chooses God in fear, who's willing to serve with sincerity and faith, God says, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you and your house will choose to serve me. So whether talking to Israel or whether talking to Corinth or whether talking to us, the choice that we're called on to make is the same. And just as with Israel, and with Corinth, so with us. We got to choose which side we're on. It's our decision. We have got to be a people who says, I am on the Lord's side. And when we can do that, God will steadfastly say, I will be your God. Maybe this morning you're ready to make that choice. As the year unfolds, we'll talk about how this choice impacts others. Those we marry, our children, those of our Christian family. But for now, the choice comes down to you about the most serious matter of all, of how will you choose in your service to God. By His grace, the Lord's provided a way of escape from sin. If you come to Him in faith, saying, I believe that the Lord will save me and the blood of Jesus will cleanse me. That this is something I can't do on my own. It's completely by the grace and mercy of God. God says, when you're buried in those waters of baptism, I'll remove your sins. And by the choice that you make, you'll be raised up a new creature, ready to serve. You ready to make that decision this morning? Or maybe you made that decision long ago, but your choices have not been wise since then. But you're ready to determine your path to be right with God. We can pray with you about it as you seek His forgiveness, whatever it takes. Let's each of us leave this morning with the emphatic resolve, I will serve the Lord.